Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Dr. Drupinski is an addiction medicine specialist.
Dr. Drupinski, host of Loveline.
Drupinski.
Dr. Drupinski is
Dr. Drew.
Loveline.
Now. This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline with Dr. Drew.
Here we are. Number's 1-800-LOVE-191. It is Loveline, and we welcome to the program the great Davey Havoc.
Hello, Drew.
It's been too long.
It has been too long.
The only time I get to see you is like crossing in an airport or something. It seems like we spend most of our time together.
It's true. We both spend a lot of time in the airports. I've actually been down here in Los Angeles for the past 6 months or so. So that's why we haven't even been crossing in airports.
See, that's why.
Yes.
You should have come sooner.
I wish I could have. But now I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Anytime.
I love it.
Of course, Davey AFI. They released 7 albums over 18 years?
True story, yeah. Yeah, we started in 1991.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you got a new album?
It's not out yet. We are actually, as we're speaking right now, Jade is finishing some of the final guitars.
And it's about?
Well, it's funny you should ask that,
yes.
Too, because the majority of the lyrics that I wrote for the album that really encompass the whole piece, which is called Crash Love, really parallels what you have to say in the book that you just wrote. It's
too weird, right?
It's wild.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying your book.
We were talking just off the air before the mics heated up. Dave and I were sort of, I had trouble getting here tonight, but I came in and he said, I just want to tell you, the book is exactly, the mirror effect we're talking about, the book I wrote, parallels the topics that inspired you in the upcoming album.
Very much so.
Just that it's such a common thing now? We're all confronted with it, or all of our friends afflicted with it? You know what I mean?
For me, it's like I look at culture a lot, because a lot of that affects me, and it is very important to me what goes on in music culture and art culture. And I've been, it's made such an impression on me, the decline of culture, and I always question why and what's causing this, and it really affects me emotionally. You know, not as, you know, I'm not speaking from a standpoint of commerce or my job. I'm saying it affects me emotionally, and so I look at it from that aspect. And
is it too broad a stroke to say that you were looking at how the culture or sort of things have distilled down to just preoccupations with celebrity?
In a sense, what it is, the cult of celebrity is a phrase that I keep using when I talk to actually at this point really only my friends who are asking me what's going on with the writing and the words that I've put into the record. And it really focuses, what it focuses on is the cult of celebrity, and it comes from a lot of different perspectives, a sympathetic perspective, a perspective from an insider's view, an outsider's view, and you know, how we perceive celebrities, how celebrities perceive themselves.
Oh my God, what effect, that's exactly what I was writing about.
What effect it has on the greater culture, the trickle-down effect, which I mean, we're talking about the mirror effect,
yeah.
and how it affects everyone from youth, and how the cycle continues, and it's very... it's very poignant for me, because I feel in growing up and getting involved in music and all the different forms of art culture that I was involved in.
Of course,
in
you grew up
child.
In a cultural hub, Ukiah, California.
Right, exactly, which actually really informed my separation, informed a lot of what I did, and that separation caused me to delve deep into things that I loved, and that sort of deep look into things that you feel passionate about and things that move you is something that has seemed to it doesn't continue anymore. It seems that everything's on the surface, and
yeah,
I'm looking at that, and it's the immediacy that people need, and why that is, and how it's happening. And I said there's such a huge change in that sort of culture from the time that I started getting involved in what I do to now, and it's all. And your book is just right there, so I'm so excited. I feel vindicated when I read your book.
Well, I appreciate it, but I feel vindicated by virtue of the fact that you have these deep feelings about these issues, and people are really moved by you. People follow you. People are very much affected by you.
Well, thank you.
So
thank
there's
you.
Still a chance, right?
Thank you.
I
hope so. I hope people that can appreciate it.
And then
it.
Quickly before we go to call, Zoo Boutique.
Oh, Zoo Boutique. Yes, Zoo Boutique. I'm a big fan of.
And by the way, the new album, is it Black Audio or is it AFI?
It is AFI. The
AFI,
album that
yeah.
I was speaking
yeah,
of
yeah.
Is AFI. AFI definitely has a different perspective than Black Audio.
Yeah.
Most of the Black Audio record was about sex.
Oh.
And this isn't so
well,
much about sex.
Let's get to the sex.
Most of the show is about that.
Yeah, that's
so, okay,
true.
We'll
so,
pretend we're in Black
we can
Audio.
We talk about Black Audio, too. As a matter of fact, Jade and I actually have an album's worth of Black Audio finished, ready to be released. But it's the music environment right now is so political, and yeah. You know, with the fall of the music industry that's happening right now.
Is the AFI album going to come out soon, do you think?
The AFI album hopefully will be out this fall.
Great.
We should be.
Will you tour around that? Or?
Yes, we will. Of course.
Are you on tour now?
We are not. We are finishing the record. We've been actually based in Hollywood, and we've been working on the record since November, recording it, and we're almost done.
And then Zoo Boutique.
Zoo Boutique is my clothing line that I am doing with.
Are you wearing it a bit?
Actually, yeah, I happen to be wearing it. There, you see this? Yeah, you like this?
Nice.
Listeners, it's yellow.
Interesting.
It's bright yellow,
it's yellow
and hot pink. It's got a girl in bondage, and it says "It's a lot like life" on it. I have always been very interested in fashion and expressing yourself through the way you dress, and I
you've changed. If this is your you've changed your style a little bit lately.
I do that.
Yeah.
I do. Most people who haven't actually seen me in the past couple of years, I've actually have some friends who don't know who I am. Strange. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen them in 2 years, and they're like, "Who are you talking to me? Like, why are you talking to me?"
True. What's that?
Go ahead, analyze. Psychoanalyze. Why would someone change their look so often? Let's hear.
Oh yeah, I do it all the time.
I'm included too. I do it all the time too, David.
No, I think it's actually kind of a good thing. I think people that are creative and people that don't have a, it's oftentimes there are things role. Particularly men, we take on roles in life that don't allow us to do that.
Right.
Right. You picked a role in life where you're allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
You have to express or change yourself, and that's part of being creative. I think you do the same kind of thing.
Dr. Drew has not changed in 10 years.
No, as a physician, it's hard to change. You're kind of this thing. And if you look, I have changed a little bit over the last.
Gotten bigger.
I saw myself on Hollywood Squares the other day, and I was like, oh,
strapping.
My wife's thing was, "You look younger." And I was like, yeah, definitely that.
Younger and dorkier.
But I was closer then to practicing full time. That's all I was doing was practicing medicine. You take on that thing that you're doing. You
absolutely
know?
I mean, I can completely understand that. It's funny that you should say that, because the point you made about the career that I've chose allows me to really express myself in a way that I wanted to. But of course, when I started, and using the word career is odd for me because it was never something that I saw as a career, but when I was younger,
a creative path
thank you very much. Yes. when I was younger and we started doing this, of course, being a teenager, a very young teenager, I was 15 when we started, much like any other teenager, I was a little bit more worried about what people thought of me and whether or not fitting into this or that. And I remember at one point just deciding, like, you know what? I'm the singer of a band. I can wear vinyl.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
I
want
to do that. I can do whatever I want. And it was that epiphany.
And bands can wear whatever they want, and black guys can wear whatever they want.
All true.
Yeah.
All true.
It's true.
It's a true story. So, at that at that moment in the mid-90s, in the mid-90s, I was able to really let go and, start wearing false eyelashes.
All right.
And
speaking
stuff.
Of letting go, let's take some calls here.
Let's
the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, no false eyelashes, nothing like that now, huh?
No, it's a shift. It's a shift.
Laura. Hey, Laura.
Yes?
Hey, you're on with Davey Havoc. What's going on?
Oh, hi, Davey. Hi. Drew.
Hey.
Drew, I saw you on Glenn Beck the other day. I was a little surprised because I was flipping channels, and it was kind of surprising.
That I would do Glenn Beck?
I saw you on Glenn Beck other day.
That he would have me, or that I would do it?
I was surprised that you would be on Glenn Beck, but...
Glenn Beck, listen, I
know what it is.
It's a Fox News thing.
Okay.
You need to know something about me, Laura. I am super duper moderate. I don't think they're good guys and bad guys. And by the way, there has to always be a minority opinion in this country. That's what makes it a democracy. And if somebody wants to hear what I have to say in that any environment, I'm willing to walk in there. Glenn Beck's a recovering guy. He's a cool guy. He says some crazy stuff sometimes, but God bless him. He's doing
yeah.
I go to church every goddamn Sunday.
No, he's not.
I'm
that
sorry.
Bad.
I'm just nervous and.
It's all right.
Pop my head.
So what's going on?
I just want to give out, just say hi to Davey and the shout out to the Disperfection board. But my question is regarding, I've been in a relationship for like about 2 years now with a trans woman, and just lately, like the past like month or so.
Hold on. You slow down. With a trans woman?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's complicated about this is like she hasn't like done anything for transition yet. But
she identifies, it's a he that identifies, it's a...
Male to female?
XY, male to female?
Yeah.
Okay.
Male to female.
And it has a penis?
Yes.
Does it have breasts?
Not yet.
Does he or she take estrogens?
She hasn't started yet.
So really, no biological transitions at
just
all.
Just aesthetic.
Yet. Just aesthetic and identification.
No. And like I haven't had, like I said, I've been with this person for like almost 2 years now, and I've not really had like any arousal problems in the past.
And what kind of problems?
Arousal.
Arousal problems.
Oh, okay. And all right, so what's going on? What's the question now?
I don't know, like, if... Because I've always been, like, really self-conscious about the whole situation with her transitioning, because I feel like she might not be starting things, because I know that I feel really physically attracted to her the way she is already. And I don't know if, like, this is causing any kind of... I don't know if that's, like, some kind of subconscious anxiety that's going on with me right now or
okay.
something.
There's definitely anxiety, because you're actually hard to track. Dave and I look at each other like, huh?
I'm trying
question marks over our heads.
Yeah.
Like, huh? So you don't get turned on by him? Let's call him a him now, because he's got a penis anyway. So when you
okay.
have sex, it's genital intercourse, right?
I haven't done, like, any penetration, but, like, pretty much everything, yeah.
I'm sorry, he's going from male to female, correct?
Yes.
Do you identify yourself as a lesbian?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with genderqueer and, like,
okay.
queer for now, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you would prefer, would you prefer him to be a him, or would you prefer him to be a her?
See, I love her personality, but I prefer the him parts, and I feel like a terrible person for that.
Oh, well, you shouldn't feel like a terrible person. It just seems to me that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but if he feels that he identifies with the female gender more, then he's moving in that direction. Your appreciation of him as a male, I think, is fair, but...
It's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. And it sounds like you're kind of walking on eggshells with this person anyway. You're just, you're all anxious about things, and can't quite even let on that you enjoy the maleness of this person, even though there's some very definite identification as a female. Laura, I don't know. I don't know what to say, except that it is anxiety, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And naturally, you'd be anxious. We'd have to kind of talk to this other person to know kind of what he or she is like, whether she's sort of putting you on the defensive all the time, and that's why you can't speak up about your feelings. I think my basic rule of thumb would be to you to just speak up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, tell you're conflicted about his transition. You're conflicted about how you're feeling. You're sorry that you don't get turned on because you're anxious. Talk about it more. That'll
help
out. And
then Laura becomes like an instant lesbian once the operation goes down, right? Which is kind of like, does she start going to Lilith Fair and WNBA games? I mean, does she change her whole lifestyle?
It's a really, yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. I'd be
anxious too.
Imagine Mrs. Pinsky might be crossing over.
It's interesting that many male to female transsexuals do so to have relationships with women.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
It is interesting.
First time I came across that, I was having to like diagram it. Like, wait a minute, you get the penis taken off so you can be with women again?
Do you have an explanation for that?
Well, all I can understand, and I'm no expert in this area, uh-huh. is that a lesbian is a certain kind of woman. And the only way you can be with that kind of woman is if you're a woman.
If you're a woman.
You don't get to be with lesbians.
That's
if you're
true.
Male. And so in her case, she doesn't identify as lesbian, but he wants to be with her. So maybe he doesn't really want to transition. Maybe her encouragement might make him stay right where he is.
It's
right?
possible.
Right?
Well, although at the same time, she doesn't really necessarily identify as a lesbian.
No, that's what I'm saying. She's not a lesbian, yet he still wants to be with her. So... I don't know.
So
I have to diagram it. It gets me very confusing. All right, let's take some more calls here.
Okay.
This is Heather. What's up, Heather?
Hi.
Hey. What's up?
Hi, Heather.
Okay. Basically, I am a squirter. And,
see,
like...
See, the previous caller identifies as a female.
Oh,
Heather
well,
identifies
a female,
as a squirter.
So,
yes.
Anyways, so I just got out of a long relationship. So now that I'm back on the market, I feel a little awkward about it and kind of, like, not embarrassed because I know that, I guess it's like a turn-on for guys, but it's just always awkward afterwards when there's kind of a mess. And, is there an etiquette to it, or should I just let it happen and deal with it?
David Havoc, what should she say?
Well, the truth is that it really depends on the guy. I wouldn't say anything in advance simply
mm-hmm.
because,
right.
I mean, talking
you
about anything that's really, because
that.
It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter either way. It's cool or, you know, it's not cool. But, I mean, when you're involved in that situation, you don't really need to talk about something like that. I mean, if you had some sort of sexually transmitted disease, that would be worth talking about, but you don't, I don't think. But squirting, I mean, if the guy can't handle it, he's boring, you know? Like, if that happens and he freaks out, then he's just totally lame anyway. So don't worry about you.
Yeah, I think really all you got to do is prep. Bring some towels out and things like that. And so it isn't such a big deal. And it isn't. And believe me, and I think I go either way. Either talk about it or don't talk about it. But if you don't talk about it, the guys will be very impressed. Like, oh, whoa, that didn't usually happen.
It's a surprise.
It's like, wow, whoa, look what you did.
Man, fire hydrant.
Right, right. And I totally understand that. I just, you know... If it's at their house and their bed, I just feel a little...
I mean, if they have, you know, luxurious sheets or the couch is, you know, a Biedermeier or something like that, you might want to take that into consideration just so, know, you in that respect, you don't want
put
to...
Put the towels down.
Squirt all over the...
And for the most part, guys are pretty hardy that way.
Yeah.
They'll erode their kneecaps for sex, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're fine.
They go into sort of numb... They don't feel anything other than the direction they're going.
They're focused.
Yeah, they're focused on. Yeah, they're in sort of hunting mode at that point, and they feel the discomfort later. And again, if you prep for it, put the towels out. How did you find out about this? Was it been since you were young or something recent?
No, it's like very recent, maybe within the last 6 months. I was in like a 3-year relationship, so it was kind of cool, and it didn't really matter because.
How did you discover it?
We were so actually through playing with toys.
That sort of makes sense. Yeah.
But were you how long were you sexually active before that?
I'd say lost my virginity when I was 16. I'm 22 now, so cool. Wow, 6 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And don't I hear a smoke alarm off in the distance there? Didn't I hear that?
I know. I think of you guys every time to be okay. This is horrible. To be honest with you, my dad is deaf. I just moved back in with my dad.
Well, hold on. Let's hear it. It's going to go off in about 8 seconds. Let Davey hear it. Shh, quiet. Here we go, right? Shh.
Yeah. Do you want me to move closer to it?
No, I just want to see how good my ears are so you can hear how faint it actually was. Well, he wants to talk to over.
You're blowing my mind.
Because it was way out. Go near it.
The show has
reached a new low.
You actually heard a smoke alarm.
The chirping of the dead battery from the smoke alarm.
That's constantly going on in my ears.
No. I mean, to be fair, until I moved in here, like 2 weeks ago.
Go near it just so we can prove that.
It was really unnecessary because my dad is deaf and doesn't need the smoke alarm.
Yeah, but you can hear.
Well, now that I'm moved back in, of course I need it.
So 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
Switch the battery out.
It's ironic that she was like a fire hydrant and her smoke detector was
on. Oh, wow.
Irony.
Well said.
Irony.
Well said.
Irony. To be honest, I almost called and told you. Oh,
there it is. I heard it. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it. Salt Lake City, too, just to see if you would ask if I was Mormon.
Oh, are you Mormon?
No.
You're Mormon?
I love that you ask that every time someone calls.
Who, Drew does?
I just play that again. Are you a Mormon?
Oh, that's a fair question. It's a fair question.
But you're actually from St. Louis, right?
Yes, from St. Louis.
And Heather, you guys are missing this part, but if you really like the next guy that makes you score it and you want to make his day, say, that's never, ever happened.
I went through it. I said that.
Yes.
You have been listening. I said that.
But
I'm
not into getting guys to be really into me at this moment.
Okay,
why?
Well, don't tell him that.
What's the matter?
Gain some weight.
What's the matter? Oh, there goes again. I heard
What's the matter? I broke up with the 3-year relationship guy because I've been dating him since I was 19, and I really don't want to marry the person that I've been with since I was 19.
But you don't want to get a new boyfriend. You want to just date for a while, right?
No, exactly. Good. I mean, I think, you know, I want to experience my life as a 20-year-old for a while before I settle down and do anything.
Why not?
Very healthy, man.
Yes.
Yes.
Good idea.
So you're good.
Much like a pseudo-marriage type thing.
I'll tell you, yes, and it's sort of joined at the hip and these things. You need to learn a little courtship. Evaluate who you want to be with, what kind of person you like, how you experience yourself in relationships. It's an important experience. Do that, and then don't worry about this other thing. Really, don't worry about it.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay?
Okay. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you so much. You do a great service.
All right, Heather. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. That is Davey Havoc.
Hello.
He is AFI. They have a new... We call them albums now?
Yeah, I don't even know.
CD.
It's we have songs. We have some new songs.
Also from Ukiah was Army of Lager Army. What's his name?
Nick 13.
Nick 13, right?
Yes, Nick 13. We went to high school together.
Isn't that wild?
And only
Ukiah.
High school. Oh, it's something.
What's something in the water? It's
something.
The jeans that was going on. In it. Where is Ukiah?
It's 2 hours north of San Francisco on the 101.
It's like near Redding or something?
No, it's closer to San Francisco than that. It's do you know Mendocino County?
Yeah.
It's
there.
Inland. It's the capital of Mendocino County.
Nice.
Yeah.
Davey Havoc, Dr. Drew, Loveline, your calls after this.
This is Loveline.
Oh, really?
Loveline will be right back.
Welcome back. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Davey Havoc, from AFI.
Yes. Silver Sun Pickups is what we're listening to right now. Do you know
that?
Yes,
it is.
They're quite good.
They're my daughter's favorite band, and they are very nice people.
Oh, that's fantastic to know.
You never met them?
I've never met them. I've seen them.
Do you have any liners from them or anything to drop in here, Anderson? Probably.
Negative.
They're great.
Negative.
Well, your daughter has great taste.
Negative.
Good for your daughter.
Yeah, I know.
They're great.
They love Stanley, my dog. That's what makes them.
Oh, yeah?
Them.
Yeah? That's good.
What's the women's and the woman's name?
Don't ask questions like that on the spot.
Well, I at least have a 50-year-old brain.
I've never met,
I know the guys in Ween. I know their names. I know the names of the Ween.
Can you name the Ramones?
Johnny Ramone and everyone else with the last name Ramone, I believe. Right?
Joey? Come on.
Oh, that's right, Joey.
Let's jump right over to the calls. Talk to Rich. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, I'm just calling because I've been with my girlfriend for about a year and a half now. And we became sexually active, I'd say, about 3 months into the relationship. And my question is, the past 3 or 4 months, we've been having unprotected sex. And our goal isn't to, get pregnant, but...
It clearly isn't to not get pregnant.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well... I don't know, let's just say it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I didn't have protection on me.
Okay.
And
by the way, hang on a second. We've been having unprotected sex with a statement, and we said, what are you doing? Well, I had sex without a condom. Yeah, we got that part.
But then you continued.
What are you doing? What are you thinking?
It started off as a one-time thing, and I know pulling out should never be the option, but... we gave it a shot, and it felt amazing, obviously. She hasn't decided to take birth control yet, and it's not that we're against it.
So you're playing Russian roulette. You don't want a kid, right?
Right.
Well, you know what you should do.
Yeah, you should get on. You should have her take the morning after pill when you do have an unprotected encounter, and just use condoms in the meantime. I mean, really, you're going to get pregnant.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's going to happen.
It's not worth it. I mean, she should get on the pill.
Count your blessings that it hasn't happened thus far. It is going to happen.
Why is she not on the pill?
I don't know. I talked to her about it, and I don't know. She's just not really for it.
Is she into having children?
But again, Rich, why don't you really examine Rich's command of speech? She doesn't want to be on the pill. Why not? I talked to her, and she just doesn't want to be on it.
Yeah.
It's like, why doesn't she want to be on it? We got that she doesn't want to be on it.
How old are you, Rich?
20.
I'm sorry, 20?
20, 20.
And how old is your girlfriend?
18.
What, are you nuts?
And why doesn't she want to be on it? What is the reason?
Honestly, I've been trying to get that answer out of her.
Would you rather get pregnant? Is that where we're at here? Is she in denial? I don't know. It's a bad thing, Rich. It's not a good situation. Use a condom, please. Please, for the rest of us.
For the world.
For the world, exactly. Here's a question for Davey. Ronnie, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Ronnie.
What's going on?
Hey, just calling to talk to Davey and let him know that as soon as you guys were getting on the air, I was driving home from tattoo shop. I just got a half sleeve full of AFI artwork.
No way.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I just wanted to tell you, I thought it was pretty cool that I didn't even know you were going to be on Loveline.
It's cosmic. We're cosmically connected, Ronnie. Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. So, thanks, man.
I just wanted to say, thanks for everything, and can't wait for the new album.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to you hear it.
It's pretty exciting.
Thanks.
Hey, and Brittany, more Davey questions.
Hello?
Hey, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, can you hear me good?
Hey, we can't hear you good. I just want to say before you take off here that it's Nikki from Silver Sun Pickups.
Nikki. Oh, okay, good.
All right, what's up, Brittany?
Okay, I got a question about Z Boutique.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans on selling it in other places besides ZooBoutique.com and Peanut Jewelry?
For those of you listening who don't know what she's talking about, I have a clothing line called Zoo Boutique. I guess we can talk about that after I answer the question, Drew, if you want.
No, go ahead.
But, I've been doing this clothing line with my friend Danny. It's just the two of us, and it's a very limited edition clothing line. It's ZUBoutique.com, and we only sell it online. They're all limited and numbered shirts, and we also do jewelry. A collaboration with
it?
Yes, I'm wearing some of it right now. It's very subtle. a collaboration,
big zoo,
with our friend Rusty, who does peanut jewelry. And to answer your question, Brittany, for the time now, no, because it's so exclusive and so small, we're just offering it on the Zoo Boutique website. But slowly, I feel when we are comfortable and we are set with what we're doing, we're very new at this now, and we're learning things along the way. I feel that when we have a solid grasp of what's going on, we'll try to maybe talk to some of the boutiques, some of the Fred Siegels and the Colettes and places like that, to see if they want to get in part, be a part of it. It's difficult because we're doing such limited numbers.
So ZooBoutique.com, and what was the other website?
It's ZUBoutique.com.
And she mentioned another one.
Yeah, and the peanut is connected through there.
I see.
So, yeah.
Does that answer your question, Brittany?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, my dear.
Thank
care.
You.
Have a good day.
Yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191. This is interesting. Marissa, what's up there?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm having an issue. I kind of need advice on when is a good time to break to a new relationship that I have herpes, to where it's been long enough that they know that I was burned by an ex-boyfriend, but to where it's not long enough to where they're already wanting to have sex, and so am I. So I'm kind of looking for a happy medium.
Well, I'm not quite sure what the medium, between what extremes you're looking for here. What was it again? You don't want to wait till you're in the bedroom, right?
Right.
Yes. Well, I mean, pretty much like if you meet a guy and you go out on a date, and a lot of people aren't going to want to wait, 5-6 months to have sex, but I know that in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, a month's time, isn't going to be suffice to where they're going to know who I am and that, I wasn't just dirty and slept around and...
I feel that you probably have to answer that question for yourself when you feel that you are at a level of comfort with that person that you would consider having sex with them and that you feel, comfortable,
I have an idea. I agree with David completely. But it'd be interesting to talk to other people who have this condition to see what kinds of experiences they've had. So, A, please, Gouda, are you Gouda?
He won't even acknowledge you.
Okay. Tell him what the call is we're listening to. We're listening. My mic's going to change timbre in a sec because I'm going to tell him what I want.
He can hear you now. Christ almighty. No one can hear you.
All right. People have herpes. People have dealt with that and when they've told their partners, when's been a good time, when it's been a bad time.
Hey, Marissa, did you go to ASU? Did you graduate from there? I see you're calling from Arizona.
No, I attended the U of A for a short bit.
Why do you ask about ASU?
Well, if she went to ASU, she could just tell her partners that she graduated from ASU, and I think that'd be like enough said. I think
just go without just understood, saying. Huh?
Yeah. Wow.
I did not know that.
Wow.
It's pretty much the same thing as STD.
My issue, though, is that I told three people that I had it, and one worked in the medical profession, so I thought that they would be more understanding of it, and they were only when they were drunk. And then the other person, I told them after like 8 months of us being friends, and granted, we'll have sex, of course, only with condoms, and he'll never perform oral, which I can completely understand that, but anybody else, I have never told, and I'm ashamed of it, and I don't know. I just kind of feel like as soon as I tell them, it's even though supposedly 1 in 10 or 11 people have herpes, I just kind of feel that it's the nail in the coffin once I tell them.
All right. Now, a couple things. My understanding is there are herpes sort of dating services out there, people that have that, they kind of get on congregate together. I imagine there are websites. I don't know of anything offhand.
There's got to be.
Yeah, where people share war stories about this, about what has been good, what has been bad. Keep in mind that if you take Zovirax or Famvir or Valtrex, you really reduce the risk of viral transmission or viral production, so you're not as likely to be contagious. Then if you add a condom, you're pretty good. You're pretty well protected. And you're right. Somebody with a medical background should be more realistic about this and less sort of reacting emotionally. But it's got to be tough. I mean, because although it's 1 in 10, it's still 90% of the people you're going to encounter are going to not understand what this is and freak out about it a little bit. I agree. I bet.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's not easy, but it should be something you can manage. Let's put it this way. You've had some experience telling people. How was that experience?
The last time I told somebody was like in 2005, so wow. That's the last time I told a male partner.
And you've had a steady relationship since then?
No. You guys are going to think I'm horrible. I've done the whole pretty much what happened to me of not telling my partner that it happened.
So you infected your partner and he didn't know?
Yeah. And
you mean this most recent partner?
Pretty much every partner since.
Ah.
How many guys have been?
Oh, my gosh. That's such another issue that I don't even want to get into because I have problems with all of that. And it's hard to explain to tell you that I got herpes by being burned by an ex-boyfriend, but then to tell you that I've slept with a lot of people since then kind of seems to contradict myself. So,
sure you didn't go to ASU? Are you sure?
I swear.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hopefully, maybe, did you get any flares of your own after any of those encounters?
No.
Okay, so maybe, hopefully, didn't well, who knows. Did you make the guys wear condoms?
I've only ever given it to one person, and that was when I didn't actually know that I had it. I was overseas at the time, and the conditions, I was in Iraq, the conditions, they couldn't really test me, and...
Wow. All right, at minimum... You want to do what's right going forward.
Yes.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's do what's right going forward. Let's not, in 3 minutes on the radio, not try to solve your guilt and shame about what has happened. Moving forward, what do you think?
You got to tell them.
But I think if you, within 3 to 4 weeks, you tell somebody.
I mean, it really depends on the relationship. I mean,
you don't wait 4 months.
You don't know. You definitely don't wait 4 months. You got to do it sooner than later.
You don't do it on the third date.
Well, because you don't do it on the third date. Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on how fast the relationship is going. Because, I mean, if you are getting hot and heavy with a guy and everything is pointing towards one direction, he's going to get confused when you put on the brakes. And he's going to be trying to figure out why you put on the brakes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really...
Depends how fast he's moving, right?
Yeah, it's case specific.
But I think for sure within a month.
Yeah.
And for sure not sooner than a week.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. It's not something you say over a coffee the first time you meet somebody. Right. But yeah, definitely within a month, I would say, for sure.
And in the meantime, garner support of people who have sort of been through this. You get some experience, other people's experience under your belt, so you can know what to expect. Okay.
Absolutely.
I've tried. It's hard. I feel like
a lot
of people out there with it tend to be ashamed just the same way I am.
We get these calls all the time, and I can build people up all I want. It doesn't take the shame away, because you're going to be encountering people who are going to not understand it. That's the reality. And maybe somebody you really like, and that's going to be tough. So.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. 1-800-LOVE-191. Davey Havoc is the other voice, AFI, of course.
Yes. AFI, Black Audio.
Black Audio.
Drinking Voss water, making yellow T-shirts.
And, yeah, he's wearing yellow. You should see him in darks and whites, seem like.
Yeah, you know.
Tweeds and whites.
I had to match my pants.
Oh, they're pink.
Yeah.
They are pink. That's interesting.
You know?
Kristen, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Well, first of all, Davey, I think you're awesome.
Thanks, Kristen.
And, Dr. Drew, I've been listening to Loveline for, I think, 2 years now. I listen to it every night on the way home, so...
Cool.
Good for you. I actually have this thing where I'll really like somebody, and then as soon... I'll try my hardest to, like, end up going out with them, and then as soon as I do, it seems like I am unattracted to them, you know, like I can't stand them anymore, kind of.
That seems very male, right, Drew?
Well, it's very common. men, maybe a little more than women, but
the conquest.
But both sides. Both sides is. And it's a fear of intimacy.
Okay.
And it's a form of love and sex addiction, believe it or not.
Oh.
Because you form this fantasy about who the person is. It's very intense. You get in, and then all of a sudden he's needy, he's clingy, I'm bored. And I go cheat or I act out or whatever.
Well, that makes sense whenever it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
and that's not a healthy thing. I mean, you're 21. You got a lot of time to kind of work that out. But that is due to some injury early on where either someone abandoned you or...
I'm sorry. You're 21?
Yeah.
Well, is that... I mean, isn't everyone at first, you know, react that way? Like, you know...
To some extent. Yeah, it's an ample...
You project what you want on the person. It's all exciting and ball fire, and then you realize that they're boring.
100%. it's an over-amplific... But what Kristen's saying is this happens every time.
How many times is every time, Kristen?
About six times, but the thing is when I was in high school, I was in a 3-year relationship with somebody, and I didn't have that problem then.
Oh, okay. Maybe the other six people suck.
But it's the same kind of thing. You know, because that relationship was probably built on a fantasy, too, and they were probably stuck together, and probably that relationship wasn't very good, but she stayed with it anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah. The pro.
So, so dad took off when you were a kid or something? What happened?
Yeah.
Shocking!
Seven.
Shocking.
Seven.
Shocking. Shocking. So, okay, well, there you go. So abandonment is the core injury that sets this up.
It sets a lot up.
Sets a lot up.
A lot.
True. Yeah.
A
lot. You know, dad abandoning you can really leave some injuries, and you're trying to work those out in these relationships, and it ain't working out. Have you ever thought about talking to somebody about it?
Yeah, it's just when I talk to a counselor, I feel like I'm, you know, you're basically telling a complete stranger your problem.
Yeah, Kristen. You're telling a complete stranger who has massive experience and training dealing with precisely your issue. You want help or not? That's the thing. That's what they do all day.
Isn't that what you're doing right now, except in front of a national audience as well?
I have to see you.
Well, you have to see the therapist. But here's the deal.
Why do you have to see the therapist, Drew? Why don't they do it? Well, can they cloak it anyway? Like they do a confession?
Oh, it's like Catholic. It's like Catholicism.
Maybe we should come up with some technique.
That would be good.
That's an interesting idea.
I'll cut what I just said.
Kristen, Patrick Carnes wrote a bunch of books about this. I think it's called Don't Call Me Love. Don't Call It Love. You might want to check that out and read about it. You'll see your stories in there over and over, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Patrick Carnes, take it out.
Bye.
Okay, this is Lily. Hey, Lily.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hi, Lily.
I want to give you the usual praise, saying you guys do great work.
Davey makes great music.
I think she's talking to you, Drew.
Oh, thank you. What's happening?
Well, things are losing spiciness in the bedroom with my boyfriend. Well, when we first met, we were absolutely ravenous for each other. And I hate to say it this way, but the honeymoon period has sort of faded away.
How long?
And it sounds like a horrible thing to say, I realize.
How long have you guys been together?
By the way, it sounds like a normal thing to say. It doesn't sound like a horrible thing to say. Yeah.
I just don't like putting it that way. We've been together since October.
Wait.
Not quite that long, but I don't know. I just I'm still crazy for him. Absolutely bat nuts crazy for him. I don't know. He's got this weird thing where he sucks on me a lot.
Sucks on what part?
Off of me.
Like all over? Like arms?
Yeah. Sucks.
Whoa, with the big F-bomb there. Hold on, we got to...
No,
he said effing on my arms.
No.
All right, we'll let it go as that. Okay, so. Lily?
Because he sucks on her arms.
Okay, in the arms.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think
Lily?
It's okay.
It sounded just like it, but it was clear.
All right, Lily, you there? Okay, you're relieved. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
So he sucks all over you.
I don't know. I don't want to, like, emasculinate him. I don't want to cut him down at all.
Wait, what's not masculine about sucking? I guess, like, because you're a child and you're suckling? I don't know. There's nothing wrong with sucking.
Yeah, I do kind of get the feeling like he's nursing on me.
Oh.
That's, like, the only unhot thing he does, though.
So, but, you mean, where does he put his mouth?
All over.
All over me. He can suck on my arm.
Is this in the... Wait, let me ask you. Is this during, you know, during the play, or is it just all the time? Like, you're out at a restaurant and he starts sucking your hand?
Mostly just when we're hanging out.
What? Oh, just like kind of hanging out and he starts sucking you? Not like you're not about to have sex.
Right, exactly.
So that's kind of annoying.
Does he smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, we both smoke cigarettes.
Oral fixation?
Oh, yeah, please. I guess.
Oral fixation?
Oh, please.
Yeah. It took away from his mom's boob at an early age.
Lily, are you saying that turns you off and that...
That turns me off.
That turns you off, and is that the problem, or is it that he doesn't turn you on?
She says she's bat-ass crazy about the guy.
We're great at coexisting. Enjoy cuddling, being around each other.
All right, Lily, here's the deal.
When it comes to sex, I'd like to be able to get riled up more. I'd like to go out on hikes or things like that. I don't know how to express it.
Wait, hikes get you riled up? I didn't know this.
In Denver, they do.
Yeah, okay. Here's the deal. Lily. Let's stay focused on a couple of simple things that we can address here in the limited time we have. One, is a general principle, young males are clueless, and you have to kind of bring them along. Mm. And they're happy to be brought along because they know they're clueless. Now, And sometimes they think they've got everything figured out because their last girlfriend brought them along, but they don't realize that everyone is different.
Yeah.
So you have to, first of all, get him to understand that when you say foreplay, you're talking about a hike and dinner. And that really includes the build for sex. For a guy, you might as – I mean, he's going to think you were joking when you
right.
say that.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm not even a child.
You're going to have to go, no. It really is serious. This is serious for me, A. And then B, there's nothing more powerful for a guy than that turns me off. They want to know that.
Yeah.
If they want to know what turns you on, they want to turn you off. You'll shape their behavior instantly.
Yeah, immediately.
When you just go – That this thing you do, it really, no big deal, but it just turns me off for some reason. It will stop immediately.
It'll never happen again.
Right? That's all you got to do.
Okay.
Men are very simple. It's like a hamster with a wheel.
If you just express it to him, he probably has no idea. He probably thinks everything is fine.
He has no idea, and he wants you to be turned on, so if something turns you off, he will avoid it.
And if something turns you on and you tell him,
he wants to know that.
He will do it.
You got
right.
it? Yeah, including.
How can I express to him why it's different now than when we first met?
Don't get into that.
That's unnecessary.
Don't get into it. Just talk about.
Be like, hey, you know what I'd kind of be into if you didn't suck my arm and you took me on a hike? That would really turn me on.
And express what, when you say to a 20-year-old male, we need more foreplay, in his mind, he thinks you're saying, go to my genitalia and spend more time there.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks. That's what it translates into in his head instantly. To expect it to go to, I need you to sit down and have coffee with me and drink and have meal and mm-hmm. have a hike with me. Not in a billion years.
No.
Not in a billion years.
But no, there will be sex on the hike, right? There will be sex on the
after,
hike.
After. David Havoc agrees.
So I need to be more specific. And
just be open.
And yes, and it doesn't spoil anything. They're just how men are wired up. They just don't get that stuff. Right?
It's fine.
Ooh, here's a tough one here. This is
where are we?
Jason. What's up, Jason?
Oh, man.
How you guys doing, Dave and Dr. Drew?
Hi, good. Jason. How are you?
Pretty good. I have an issue with my wife, 4 years. I've been a volunteer firefighter for a while now. I've been going through my academy 6 months, got out of there, and started going through another academy with the U.S. Forest Service. I spend a lot of time with my career and not a lot of time with my wife.
Okay.
Before I got into my career, she knew all about what I was getting into. She totally supported it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm getting closer to it, she's a little upset that I don't, it's not that I don't spend time with her, but that I don't talk to her like about my feelings. She says I don't talk about my feelings as much and tell her how I feel.
All right. What's the question?
She has her job. And she's seen since last week, and she ended it. But she was seeing another guy from work. Apparently, they didn't do anything, but she talked about our relationship, and he told her everything a guy would tell. Her friend would tell a girl what they want to hear.
All right. So I get what you're saying. Uh-huh. What's the question?
I need to know what I should do, because she says she ended it with him and she wants to be with me, but she says that she needs her space.
Oh,
I need my space is a BS statement from a wife.
Yeah.
That's not a wifely statement. Her saying, I need more attention from you, more nurturing, more time, more listening, whatever. That's all viable. But I need more space?
Yeah,
that's something a 14-year-old says to a boyfriend she's breaking up with.
Yeah,
that's what I tell her. I've heard that before from relationships in the past.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Do you have kids?
Mm-hmm. No kids yet.
Thank God.
Started working on having kids. Yeah,
stop working.
All right, so here's the simple approach to this would be, obviously, couples therapy would go a long mm-hmm. way. I mean, I don't know any other way to handle something like this other than that. The second thing is to say, again, this limited contact we have here on the radio, is to realize that women do have very deep instincts about relationships. They kind of know what they need, and we don't as men. We kind of do, but we kind of don't. And so if your wife is saying, I need more time from you, more one-on-one time, more take me out to dinner, they're saying that the relationship needs that to be healthy, and you need to pay attention when they say something like that. So I need more space, BS, but pay more attention, figure out exactly what she wants, and go ahead and do it. And if that doesn't work, then you got to get some couples therapy. Davey Havoc, AFI, we have to take another break.
All right.
That one just zoomed by.
We'll be back. That was quick.
We will.
Okay.
Los Angeles, 1983, when too much was never enough. The Informers, a movie from the author of American Psycho, and Less Than Zero, starring Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, Winona Ryder, and Mickey Rourke. The Informers, now playing.
This is Loveline!
1-800-LOVE-191.
You got it on Loveline.
I sure do.
Loveline.
Here on Love Line, phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
I want to be in Little Shop of Horrors.
Almost an F-bomb out there.
Almost by the doctor himself.
Yes, by myself.
Not the strange kind of rock
son
dude.
My who's playing the dentist in Little Shop of Horrors. And,
which I...
He nailed it.
That is fantastic. I want to do that. I do.
Be fine, wouldn't it?
I would like to play the dentist in Little Shop of Horrors, the MC in Cabaret.
Ooh, yes, you'd be great.
I would love to be the MC in
you'd
Cabaret.
You'd be good at that.
I would love to be Frankenfurter, really, first and foremost,
nice.
On Broadway. That would be great. That's where I'm coming from, then.
My dream was being.
Who would you like to be, Drew?
See, I'm...
I didn't know. I didn't know it was musicals for Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I sang opera for a while. That was my thing.
You can sing opera.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a better singer than I am, for sure.
Well, but I couldn't do cabaret.
I'm not saying I could do cabaret.
Oh, this is Anderson always accuses up. This is me on a TV show I did for Ben Stein. It's called Turn Ben Stein On. And I had me come on and sing some opera. So.
What?
He turned Ben Stein. Ben Stein had a raging boner at this moment.
He did, yeah.
Right, I don't blame the guy. This is you.
This is me, yeah.
Wow.
He's asking Ben Stein what his father did to him when he was a child.
That's
what he's saying.
In Latin. Is it Latin or is it Italian?
Italian.
Wow. Baritone?
Yeah, yeah.
Baritone.
Andre Chenier.
Wow.
But anyway.
What's the hell's baritone?
What?
What's baritone?
Yeah. What do you think it was?
What is baritone? Where's baritone?
The one that a bear makes? Low, low. It's low, but not basso.
Well, it's in between. It's in between
not
bass
tenor. Yeah,
and,
not tenor.
And tenor. It's the mid. It's kind of non-committal. You know.
But yeah,
so Drew singing back up on the next AFI record.
Absolutely. I wish we'd have known. Saturday, would you like to come in, Drew?
Saturday, just walk. Come on.
Saturday, 4:00.
For recording session.
True story. You're invited. It's the gang vocals.
I'll come in. It'll be fun.
Seriously.
I think I have time. Yeah.
Yeah. We have the absolute dream team that we're singing with. Our core group of backing vocalists is
I'm a horrible musician.
Nick 13, Dan Under, Ben Gray. Yeah, got the AFI guys
in
there.
You don't want my voice in there.
Yes, we do. Come on. Come on. I owe you some T-shirts anyway. I'll bring them on Saturday.
How much time would you need me for? I got to go see Little Shop of Horrors right after that.
What
like
time is
o'clock?
Little Shop of Horrors? At 7? Oh, that's plenty of time. We're going to start at 4 or 5.
All right.
I'm not going to say where.
I've been on my album before.
I'm not going to say where on the air, but...
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we'll work it out.
True story. You can come.
And I got to get some of those t-shirts. What are you laughing at?
It would be a joy.
I just love the fact. If that actually happens, that'd be awesome.
It'd be pretty interesting, wouldn't
it?
We'll put some false eyelashes on you.
Hearing,
put you on the album cover.
Don't put me in a box, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, the band needs that because you don't have that anymore.
It's true.
Drew could be the guy.
Actually, there is a void now. I could show you how.
You can
certainly, I have years of experience of doing that, but...
Although in eyelashes, that might look good, right?
A lot of BS is talked about on the show. A lot of back and forth, a lot of invites. But I think this should actually happen.
This is not.
No,
is...
I do too. And it actually kind of fits in my day. I think I can actually do it.
Saturday,
it's an extraordinary thing.
I will. When we are off the air, I'll tell you exactly where to come.
All right.
Put your name down. It would be great. And you know, Nick will be there.
Know
and you know AFI and our other friends are lovely.
Lovely.
Dan
sure.
Under.
In front of yours.
If you get nervous, bring Ben Stein for support, Drew.
You want to come?
Bring Ben Stein.
Ben, you can focus on your muse.
Yeah, Ben. So I sung that little piece from Andre Chenier. I didn't sing the whole aria. I sang just a part of it. And Ben has declared himself an expert in opera. So he declared that he knew that I was a great singer because he was an expert in opera. It's very funny. I pulled a fast one, but you can sing, you can sing small bits of music if you carefully select it where you can really shine. You know
okay,
I mean?
Right. Yes, exactly. I know there are certain songs that I sing better than others, but I don't, I, you know, that's, I wouldn't.
Anderson.
There he is.
We've got to get Ben back up here. It's been a little while. And? Yeah.
Okay. Last time he made Ann's assistant buy him a pizza.
Why do we have pizza waiting for him this time?
Why not?
Hey, Rio. It's our friend Rio from Missouri. What's up, Rio?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're great. You're up with Davey Havoc.
I am so honored to be on with Davey.
Thanks, Rhea. This is the girl that drew the picture and gave you the shirt.
No, I know. Okay. I see the thing about the shirts. And I love you, Anderson. Oh,
I
love you, Rhea.
Rhea, do you dance on the sand?
I do.
I knew it. I heard that somewhere.
She
sent me a message saying that she was so happy that I didn't say that to her, Davey, because she says everyone always does.
Rhea, I'm so sorry. I couldn't help it.
If anybody could say it to me, it's you, Davey.
I appreciate it. It's in my blood.
You know, it's the way she says Davey reminds me of that old Davey and Goliath.
Hey, Davey.
Claymation.
Do you know who Tesco V is?
No.
Okay, there was a punk band called the Meat Men, and Tesco V was a very irreverent lead singer, very subversive, really very controversial, who... you know, un-PC type of guy.
G. Allen?
Not quite. Not as extreme as G. Allen. More more funny and less vicious, less suicidal. And he would take those old Christian videos like David and Goliath and overdub them. And I would actually recommend finding David and Goliath one with, hey, David the dog. Well, and, you know.
But Rio, say hey, Davey again.
Hey, Davey.
you were putting it on that one, though.
No, that's the way she said it before, I swear to God. Anyway, so what's going on, Rio?
Oh, I just wanted to thank the both of you. Drew, I've been listening to Loveline for a very long time, and thanks to you, I have gotten through many things in my life. And between you and Davey, that has made my decision to become straight edge, and I wanted to thank both of you for that.
That's fantastic.
Very cool.
That really means a lot to me, too. I think introducing anybody to the straight edge philosophy is it means a lot to me when people do that.
Yeah,
so thank you.
I appreciate it very much. It has helped me through a lot in life. I had one quick AFI question.
Yeah.
In the Despair Factor with the line, "My whole life is a dark room,
yes.
One big dark room."
Yeah.
Did you happen to get that from Beetlejuice by chance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Initially, it was like, I believe we recorded that in the year 2000, I think, and what we'd hoped was to use the actual sound bite, but we couldn't get the rights to do that. And then we were hoping to get Winona to come in and do it, and we were incapable of doing that at that time, as I imagine we would be now. So I said it.
That is so awesome.
There you go.
Oh, thank you. So I said it. Yeah,
I always wondered that. I was like, I wonder if it really was from Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah,
it's made my day.
Yeah, it's a direct quote. We were hoping for other things, but you got me. So
there you go, Rio. Thanks so much. Stay in touch with us. All right.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Here is Hannah. Well, okay, Hannah, what's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. My daughter, I just recently got her a little G.I. Joe, like Barbie size,
mm-hmm.
and she took off the Barbie's clothes and took off the G.I. Joe's clothes and started, like, making them, like, pretty much making them hump each other.
Are you a Mormon?
No, I am not.
Are the dolls Mormons?
Yes, she is.
Whoa.
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 What the hell?
Oh, my. Such a
so
venom.
Tell them we're ready to get back to her again. So now we know why the Hannah's daughter's having a little trouble.
Vicious.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that tells you a lot, right?
Vicious.
There. Can I go back?
I'm shocked that her child.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you're
saying. Helping each other.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
After you can go back to her.
Oh, okay. My.
Hannah.
Hello.
Okay, well, that speaks volumes about what goes on at home. So,
I don't swear in front of my
Yeah,
throat.
I'm sure you don't. So you're just in front of national radio audiences. You're that unaware of where you are and what you're saying.
An
of course you do it in front of your child.
Innocent guests.
Yeah. So here's the deal, Hannah.
Oh, I must actually have it on the wrong station.
What?
I probably have it on the wrong station then.
Who do you think you're talking to?
The doctor.
Yeah.
I was listening to the station and I can't hear you. So.
Yeah, that's you're probably it's on a delay, Hannah. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the deal. That is not normal behavior for a 3-year-old. She must have seen something, or perhaps something happened to her. Do you leave her in daycare? Does she have access to a computer? Are there times when you're really not around her?
I do work.
Okay, and she goes to daycare. So
no, she doesn't go to daycare. My husband and I switch off. So when he's working, I watch her, and then when he comes home, I go to work.
Is it possible he's?
No, it's not.
That he's not.
He had that happen to him. There's no way he'd ever do that to anyone else.
Just so you know, that's sort of the way it goes.
That's who does it to other people.
Yeah. It is victims that become perpetrators or bring perpetrators around. So you wonder, maybe he's going on the internet or something and doesn't think the child can absorb this stuff. Again, that's one of the things. When you've been sexually abused like that, it makes you not perceive some of the usual boundaries, so it might be easy to do something like that. But I would definitely discuss this with your pediatrician. That is not good, okay behavior. This, she's been exposed to something.
Okay.
Okay. Now, whether it's it doesn't have to be shattering. It doesn't mean she was necessarily sexually abused. I would expect, my bet is that she saw something, either pictures or internet or something.
Okay. We don't have a computer, so.
What about television?
We have a television, but.
Okay. Let's be clear. For a three-year-old to understand intercourse, it doesn't happen unless they've seen it, unless an adult introduces it, if that's really what she was doing. Okay?
Okay. I just want a verification is all. I don't really trust her step-grandfather at all, and his mom watches her sometimes.
Okay, you've got to bring this up. You've got to tell the mental health, whoever is involved with her from the health standpoint, get them involved, a pediatrician, whatever, because this needs to be checked out. JD, what's up?
Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, is this Dr. Drew?
Yeah, buddy, what's happening?
Hey, I was calling. I'm at wit's end, and I know you're an expert in celebrity addictions.
Uh-huh.
And I have someone I really, really care about a lot, and she is somewhat of a celebrity, and she has become just completely absorbed into Oxycontin and drugs, and the person that got her hooked on it and is giving it to her is another celebrity, and he's now pretty much used it to make her his personal slave. Like, and now the two people, me and her family friend, are the only two people that really show a lot of caring about her. And now he's demanding that she stop contacting us. And I mean, anytime I even talked to her like 4 days ago on the phone for a couple hours, and then like the only thing that kept coming back in her head is, can you get me drugs? I need drugs. I want to get away from this guy, but he has my drugs, and he doesn't want me talking to you guys. And I'm just kind of at wit's end with the whole thing. I don't know what to do. I care about her so much.
All right, JD. There's nothing special about a celebrity drug addict. They are the same as everybody else who has addiction. She needs to spend, with the kinds of drugs she's taking, she needs a multi-month treatment program, like 3 to 6 months somewhere. She will not do it if she doesn't want to do it, and you can't make her want to. You can go to a program called Al-Anon, where you can get support from people who deal with addicts, and they can tell you the kinds of things to say and do that will help you in managing her. But at this point, it sounds like she's deeply in, and there's not much you can do unless you have some significant leverage and can do something like an intervention.
Well, I don't have that kind of money to be able to do that. But, I mean, Stop.
Even if you had the money, you don't have the leverage. This person doesn't want to get well. Okay? And that's, you can't make an addict get well. It doesn't want you. You can't do it. Even if her life depended upon it and she knew it, which it does, the probability of her getting well is only about 20-30%.
Yeah, this guy's got her shooting it now.
Yeah, it's not about the guy. It's about her.
Yeah.
If it wasn't that guy, it'd be another guy. Stop vilifying the guy. They're just drug addicts hanging out using each other to be addicted. It has nothing to do with the guy. It's all about her disease. And she is going to have some kind of near-death experience. I'll tell you, if she's slamming drugs, the best thing you can do is when she does have her crash, when she hits her bottom, when she nearly dies, which is what's going to happen, make sure then that she goes away somewhere for a long, long-term treatment of at least 6 months. David's shaking his head, Jack.
I'm like, okay, yeah. Yeah. Sounds about right.
There's a place outside of Portland called Springbrook that's pretty darn good. You're up in Seattle. That might be helpful. So, but you, JD, you're not going to be helpful with the attitude you've got about it now. You're just not going to be. Unless you got to go to someplace like Al-Anon where the people that have experience dealing with addicts, you are clearly a novice. Don't do this on your own. You become part of the disease. I don't see addicts alone. I bring somebody in the room with me because when I come in alone, I become part of the disease, even when I know so much about it. Adam, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
So this girl gave me oral sex, and then she told me afterwards that she has herpes.
Okay. So good. So she avoided giving you herpes by giving you oral sex instead.
That was my question. I just didn't know if you could get herp from head.
She didn't have open sores on her lips.
She didn't say I have herpes in my mouth, did she?
No, she wasn't specific about it, and I didn't see anything weird or anything, so.
That's good.
Yeah. You often don't see anything with herpes. But be that as it may, yeah, she is telling you that she has genital herpes, right?
Yes.
All right. So you didn't touch her genitals, right?
No. But, okay, that was just my concern. With these permanent things, I tend to get a little worried. So
you're kind of freaking out a bit. Herpes is transmitted at the site of the sores. You don't have a sore, you can transmit, but it's in the region of the sores where the transmission occurs, okay?
Did she tell you right after she was done giving you a head?
It was clearly like a, hey, by the way.
Okay.
It's a nice touch, right?
Yeah.
You know what would work, actually, is if the girl did it while she was giving the head. Said, don't worry, it's not on my mouth, but I do have herpes. And the guy would just say, keep going. It's
yeah,
right.
It's all
keep
fine.
Going.
That would probably rattle me. If,
I don't know, David.
Well, it would rattle Adam because he thinks that if somebody has genital herpes, they're just going to get it from the mouth. Hey, Phoebe, what's going on?
Oh, hey. I really was curious if there are any black audio videos, because I've heard rumors for ages, but they've never surfaced anywhere.
Oh, no. We're talking about for the next record, which is almost done. Jade and I were talking about possibly doing a group of them, is ideal. We would like to do that.
You could probably sell a DVD if you did some videos. You could probably make bank on that.
Well, that wasn't even our consideration, but...
Well, I know.
You mentioned it.
You might be right. We would like to do that. Unfortunately, it's difficult these days to make videos for any band just because there's not really places to play them. I mean, of course, there are places online, but they're expensive. Yeah. They're expensive.
So
and
did you not film any for the last album? Because I heard they existed. They just were like,
there was one that we were working on, but it didn't work out.
My 3-year-old says, Davey Havoc, all the time now, just so you know.
Oh, my.
Although she called Adam Lambert on American Idol Davey Havoc.
Do we look? I've never seen American Idol. Does this person and I look similar?
Kind of, right?
Well, he has an asymmetrical haircut and wears makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome for an idol to go that far.
And it's awesome your daughter picked that up, too, huh?
Yeah, she called it, and then I had to draw a picture of each of you, and then she can tell the difference now.
Oh, through the drawing. Wow, okay. That's cool.
And, Dr. Drew, I read in your book years ago about, like, there was a question, like, what is your view of internet dating? You said it's pathetic, there's no real relationship because it's based on fantasy. Which makes obvious sense.
I didn't say it's pathetic. I said you.
No. It says it's pathetic. It's a quote. I could pick up my book.
No, hold on. Maybe I didn't say it. Then I didn't say it. Somebody else did. But you have to define what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
If you're talking about meeting somebody that you don't know, it is kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
That you build a fantasy that gets superimposed on that relationship even when you finally do meet in the flesh.
Well, what happened with me is I became very close with someone for about a year and talked on a very platonic level. And really, it built my self-esteem up, he wasn't trying to get at me or anything like that. But, I mean,
sure.
I know, never. But he ended up coming to Portland anyhow because he always intended on it. And then things happened, and that was half a year ago, and he's going to end up coming up again and moving in.
Whoa.
Oh,
so,
wild.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know how to preface everything.
Yeah, this is a guy that had no intentions for you? Right.
No, not no intentions, no, but I mean, we were speaking on things about just, I don't know, we're big nerds, and I have Asperger's syndrome, if that plays into anything.
Asperger's is a autistic spectrum disorder. Yeah. It's like Einstein probably had Asperger's. It's where you kind of don't read social cues quite well.
Oh, okay.
Very intelligent.
There you go.
Oh, I can't read facial expressions.
Right, can't read facial expressions.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it always came up as like I was lazy and not trying and things like that, but I was because I scored very highly on aptitude tests and things in school.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't read facial expressions? Like if someone's very angry and got a grimace?
Yeah, exactly.
They can read anger, but they can't read anything subtle. They can't read surprise.
Exactly.
They can't read.
So soap operas are probably lost.
Laughter and things.
You're probably not into British humor.
I love British humor.
Wow.
The best.
Very dry.
The best.
Yeah, most Asperger's have trouble understanding humor, particularly the switch. Yeah.
Although I suppose the British humor, it's no expression.
Joke books when I was very little.
What kind of books?
Little joke books, really corny, you know?
Interesting.
Like, terrible ones.
Like, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
Exactly.
But they should love radio, right? Because you don't have to deal with a face.
Exactly. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but emotions are mysterious for Asperger's generally.
Yeah. But just so you know, the communication with this guy is really good. And, I mean, he knows about what deficits in...
Or maybe you're missing the fact that this guy's super manipulative and you don't pick that up.
Yeah, I don't think he is. And I also, I do have a few very, very close friends who definitely have my back, and they think well of him. And they always read the stuff where I was just being an idiot, and I thought, you know, the best of things that were obviously not.
Right.
And I shouldn't have trusted people. So I think I have the right network of people to watch my back and everything.
Okay. It has worked out. It wouldn't be the first time.
Phoebe.
Okay.
Phoebe?
Thank you.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Were you named after Phoebe Cates by any chance?
Yeah, no.
That's a damn shame. She's hot.
No, Phoebe Snow. Great soul singer, so I named after her.
Oh,
there you go.
Wow.
All right, Phoebe. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
We were staying near the Fast Times burger place. Yeah. Fast Times earlier. Drew and I were talking about it.
John, what's up?
Hey. Oh, gnarly.
What's up? What's going on?
Hey, John.
Hey. I just wanted to say I love you, dude.
Thanks, John.
I listen to Very Proud of You, Very Proud of You and The Art of Drowning before my baseball game.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Pumped up. But anyways, my question is that, I've been going out with this girl for, over a year, and, we went on, a break, and, I don't know, I got, really drunk one night, and, I slept with, one of our good friends, and, it was stupid, I don't know, I was drunk, but, I want to get back with her, but I don't know if I should tell her. Or not.
Wait. You want to get back with who?
My girlfriend.
You want to get back to her with her?
Yeah, I want to get back with her, but I don't know if I can tell her because
John, did you break up with your girlfriend?
We went on a break.
Oh, a break.
I don't know
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's exactly. It was stupid in the first place.
Whose break? Whose idea was the so-called break?
It was kind of hers because, she's 21 and I'm only 19.
Okay.
And, she likes to go out to, bars and, she likes to have, time with, her girlfriend.
Mm. Believe me, she's been fooling around a bit while you've been on the break, too.
Don't feel guilty.
Yeah, you're on a break. You're entitled to do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was her first. I don't know of anyone else that she's, had sex with.
What's the question?
Just, I don't know if I should tell her,
You're on a break.
No.
Yeah, you're on a break.
Absolutely not.
You don't even know if you're going to get back with her or not.
He's worried because it's a common friend. They both are friends with the same girl.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back with her, though. If I tell her, I don't know if, she's going to take me back.
You know what? But that's okay. Here's the thing. If she doesn't take you back because of that and you were on a break, then that's against the rules.
But girls, they want a little more mystery and less history. So they don't they don't want to hear. Neither does he want to hear. We just brought up with him that she's probably screwing around. He's like, no, not her.
Yeah, you don't want to hear.
Well, guess what? That's what's happening.
Well, definitely don't tell her. There's no reason to tell her.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's absolutely no reason. She has no right to know.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If this girl that he slept with is like a higher number than her, the girl might want to get back together with him. They're catty that way, right?
Oh.
They are, Drew. Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that, but I think generally, you know.
If she would sleep with him, why did I let him go?
Yeah.
You know what I would look at, though? I would be cautious in getting back together with her because if she's 21 and she's telling you you need a break because she wants to go out to bars and meet 28-year-olds.
I agree with you. It's over.
Yeah, John. Be careful, man. Because even if you do get back together, chances are things could be rough. And what if she wants another break? And then then you're bummed. You know,
yeah.
You're 19. You know, there's 18-year-olds. Yeah, well, think about that.
19-year-old males are got a lot of energy, and but go out and date a little bit. It's all right. That's what she wants to do. Believe me.
Yeah.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The other voice is, of course, Davey Havoc from AFI. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sarah.
Sarah
says, "You want to read what it says there on line 4?"
Sarah and her boyfriend have anal sex every night, and she wants to know if there's any bad effects that anal sex.
We'll address that after this.
Pause.
Los Angeles, 1983, when too much was never enough. The Informers, a movie from the author of American Psycho, and Lesson Zero, starring Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, Winona Ryder, and Mickey Rourke. The Informers, now playing.
This is Loveline with Dr. Drew.
You're listening to Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline.
Thank you.
We are back. It is Loveline. He is Davey Havoc. They are AFI.
Yes. I was looking at my gifts.
Who is this?
I'm sorry.
Can you name this band?
No. Wait. Oh. I do recognize it. Oh, is it? Is it Kings of Leon?
I bet you. Kings of Leon? Yep.
Yeah, earlier when you were talking about Silver Sun Pickups,
yeah.
I didn't know you were talking about Silver Sun Pickups, because that's Nikki, of course. It's Nikki from Silver Sun Pickups. I didn't think you were talking about somebody else.
No, we were talking about Silver Sun, and this is Kings of Leon. I'm told they're very attractive boys.
I can't remember. They were up here, right?
No.
No? Were they going to come up here or
really?
Something?
Really?
Hmm. They're too big for us. They're kings. We only
they
have
are the
princes.
Kings.
We only have princes on the room.
And kings. Queens.
Let's go right down to the phone, shall we?
Let's.
We were promoting the fact that we were going to talk to Sarah. What's up, Sarah?
Hey, Dr. Drew. How are you doing tonight?
Good. What's happening?
Okay, so I have two questions. My first question is about anal sex. I wanted to know about, like, the long-term effects of it, and, like, I heard that you can lose your muscle there and stuff like that.
Yeah, there can be a lot of problems. We really don't know fully the extent of what's going to happen here, because this has become a common practice in only recent years.
I have questions.
Okay, well, let me just.
I have questions.
He's like, he's got a head of steam, guys. He's got questions.
I have questions about this.
Well, let me first focus on Sarah here, and just say that the one sort of parameter I advise people about to be careful is if they have pain. Mm. Your body has pain fibers to clue you into the fact that you are damaging tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's pain, I would watch out. Because if you are damaging tissue, yes, you can tear the muscle. Yes, it can scar down. Yes, you can have perirectal fistulas and abscesses. You could get prolapse. You get all kinds of awful things that start to happen in the 7th and 8th decades of life anyway. And after doing all this to it for a period of time, there could be more problems. But I don't know, because we haven't really had that much. We did talk to a nurse on this program once who was a surgical saleswoman. And she said the hottest item, the most significant growth was seen in the anal prosthetic replacements.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
You like that, Gouda? Even you jumped at that. She was like, oh,
wow. Sarah, I presume you're using a lot of lube, right?
Yeah. Okay. Like spit and stuff like that.
You can get stuff that's better than spit. You probably should.
Just
if you're
saying,
doing,
just saying.
I mean, if you're doing it every night, you might want to invest in some anal lubricant.
Do you have Do you have pain?
Sometimes, but for the most part, it doesn't hurt. Feels good.
All right. Some people like it a lot and are fine with it.
Go some wet.
Yeah.
You know.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I worry people are going
to
hurt them.
Well, that's I wanted to ask you, Drew. I've thought about this before, and I thought I should ask Dr. Drew this.
All right. Here we go.
The stretching.
Mm-hmm.
And the fisting and the butt plugs, that are, 6, 7, 8 inches in diameter. And that's got to screw you up, right?
I imagine. I'm just using my imagination.
Well,
saying.
I'm curious. I would think that biologically, if you, if you put your arm, if you have an arm up to your elbow, to someone's elbow, is that not screwing within? Like, where is like?
Well, first of all, that is wrong because there's a big S. It's called your sigmoid colon.
Uh-huh.
After you get past the rectum, which is only about 8 inches, uh-huh, in there, 10 inches, then there's a giant S that you have to negotiate that S.
Okay.
And you can't do that with an arm.
Right. Okay.
So you're pulling the whole rectum up into your
abdomen.
You're
just kind of stretching
it. Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy.
Because I just wonder how that works. And I know you. I mean, you can lose muscle control, so it's stretched permanently, like my ears,
yes,
per se. But I've always been curious about that, just because there's the whole culture of that.
Yeah,
the things we learn about our friends here on Loveline, Andrew. No S.
I'm just curious.
Huh?
Yeah,
just listening. Just
we're just
talking. What if it's a midget's arm? Is that okay?
We're just talking. I suppose you wouldn't have to navigate depending on the size of the arm.
Yeah, well, it depends if it's a midget or a chondroplastic dwarf.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll figure that out.
Actually, it probably doesn't depend.
Well, because midget really has a small everything.
Right.
So midget would be easier.
Right.
It kind of plastic.
Oh, and the dwarf may have big hands. Arms. Yeah, big hands. True. Good point.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's important things to talk about on this show. It really is. Let's talk to Emma.
Go navigate that S, Drew.
What's going on, Emma?
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say, like everybody else, that I love you, Davey.
Oh, thank you, Emma.
So much. Your music has honestly changed my life. And it's a complete privilege to be talking to you right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Nice.
I'm glad we impacted you in that way.
Yeah,
thank you.
I love AFI, Black Audio, everything.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Emma.
All right. Well, my question is, I've been sexually active for about a year now, and I've had about 3 different sexual partners, use protection each time, on birth control, very safe. But my problem is that every time I bleed afterwards for, like, 1 or 2 days.
Wow. And for 1 or 2 days. And are you on birth control pills?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So women on the pill oftentimes have what are called unstable uterine lining. And so things like sexual activity can evoke bleeding. It's not so uncommon. It happens a lot.
So she's okay?
Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything. Okay. But when was your last pelvic exam?
I think like 3 months ago.
Yeah, so you've been checked out. Everything is good. You may want to talk to the doctor about a different pill. They might be able to find something that has less, a little less estrogen, might make a little less unstable.
That's it.
Okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you had questions, Davey, about Melissa. Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, okay.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good. Melissa. How are you?
Good. Thank you. My question is, I'm 25. I've been sexually active since I was 17, and I have never had an orgasm. I've tried masturbating. I've been with multiple different partners, and I've never, ever had an orgasm.
How about with oral sex?
Right.
You've tried that?
Yes.
Nothing.
How about technology?
Technology like...
A vibrator?
What was that?
A vibrator?
Yeah. I tried that, too.
A Lulu vibrator?
Now, the other thing is, what's a Lulu?
I think it's called Lulu or Lulu. It's like state-of-the-art. It's the
Little
new,
Lulu?
It's a new hot. Worry, it's the new not... hotness.
Well, just so you know, we had somebody calling in here whose father used to play Little Lulu.
Oh, my, no. I don't think this is this. No, this is a Lulu.
So this is going to replace the rabbit or the dolphin or whatever?
I'm told it's the hotness. I was going to say rabbit, but I think that's a bit passe at this point.
Really? It's the Lulu now.
Yeah. They're sleek.
So, Melissa, before we get into what you've been doing lately, you sound like you're about 6 years old. So something happened when you were about 6?
When I was 6? No, not that I can remember.
6 to 8 in there?
No. I can't think of anything. I mean, I've never been, like, molested or had anything happen to me. I had a really good childhood.
Okay, then your family didn't break up when you were that age or something?
Well, my parents separated a couple times when I was younger.
Why?
They were it was basically they couldn't get along. They fought a lot.
Did you have to be exposed to the fighting?
Yeah. Me and my brother. My dad used to have a really bad temper. There was a couple of times where he, like, punched holes in the wall.
Okay. If you're 6, 7, 8 years old seeing that is shattering.
Okay.
So when I say what happened when you were 6, 7, 8, that's what I'm talking about. If you're witnessing violence, if you are the object of violence, that is not okay. That will leave an effect on you. Now, I don't think no necessarily has anything to do with this orgasmic function, but it has everything to do with why you sound so young. It can affect how you develop.
I've actually been told I look young, too. A lot of people think I look about 19, 20.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. So that stuff is definitely going to affect your relationships. So the kinds of people you're with are going to be... maybe not the greatest guys. Have you had trouble picking good guys? Your picker kind of broken?
Yeah. I've had some pretty bad relationships my last...
Shocking!
This was pretty bad. So.
Shocking! Yeah. Of course.
Shocking!
Drew, that doesn't necessarily inform the orgasm problem,
no,
it doesn't. Right?
Well, it might be if the relationships have been really bad. She's never been able to get close enough to somebody feel safe.
But on her own, even...
On her own, you know, a lot of women have trouble masturbating on their own, particularly at that age. It just doesn't...
Not guys so much.
Not guys so much at all. Sad. But for many women, not all women, but for many women, they have to be having an experience of intimacy for the sexual functioning to make sense.
Hmm.
And it's hard to sort of figure out how to find that place if you've never really been intimate with somebody.
Okay.
So it could be that. The other thing is... just understand that for women that need some sort of direct stimulation, in other words, you're not going to have an orgasm with intercourse, you're going to need some sort of clitoral stimulation, it's common for the orgasm function not to kick in until early 20s. And so you're kind of still in that window. You just got to work at it a little bit. And then also try to have a real relationship, not trying to find dad again and try to make that okay. You need to find a guy who's actually available for intimacy.
Okay, so you're saying it's just basically like I've been picking the wrong guys.
I'm saying that's one element. The other element is that it may be the normal part of your biological development, and you just got to really kind of work at it, really kind of try to find a way to make yourself comfortable, use some of that technology,
intricate.
And assume it will happen.
So intricate, Drew.
The biology?
It's so intricate.
So complex.
It is. My. Like a flower.
And again, and right. And then the man again, it's the,
not intricate.
The wheel, the hamster, that's it.
Yeah,
vanilla.
Done.
Soft swirl. Easy. Question for Davey from Desiree.
Hi, Desiree.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling because your lyrics are beautiful. And
thank you.
I just recently, you're welcome. I just recently got a tattoo with lyrics from Reading Song 2 on my back.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
But I was curious, the lyrics that you don't use, have you ever thought about maybe putting them together in a book for maybe the fans later so we can see some of the other stuff that just didn't get released?
You know, I have considered that. It's interesting. I've considered it, and whenever I think about it, I feel self-absorbed in thinking about it. I'm like, you know, am I really going to do that? It seems it's kind of counterintuitive for me in a way, but also I consider it as well because I feel that maybe people would enjoy reading them.
We would.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. There are a lot of songs. I mean, when Jade and I sit down, we end up usually writing far more songs than ever get actually recorded or released, or sometimes even worked out as a band. And all of those have lyrics, and the lyrics are often really important to me. So it's often hard to let those songs go. So they're there. They're in books and places
out there somewhere.
Yeah, they're out there somewhere. I would consider it. I don't know who would publish it, but that's the thing. I don't know if anyone would publish it, but if someone wanted to do that, I certainly would consider it. Are you a publisher?
No.
Desiree?
No, I'm not. I write, but I can't publish you. I'm sorry.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, writing is more important than publishing, I suppose.
It is, and that's part of the excitement of a new CD for me too, is seeing the lyrics.
Well, thank you.
So
I appreciate your paying attention to that.
Thanks, Desiree.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now also for Davey, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Davey. I just want to say that video of you doing Straight Edge Revenge with Ceremony.
Yes.
At the Gilman.
Yes.
Like the story of my life, like coolest video ever. Like I watch it every day.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. You're Straight Edge,
also,
I take it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm in a band right now, and I just wanted to see if you were cool with us covering Fall Children.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Man.
Of course. You know, really, I am definitely cool and honored that you would want to cover one of our songs. It's very flattering. And thank you.
Yeah. It's like since like sixth grade, I listen to AFI. Like all it. You're my favorite band.
Oh well, thank you. Like, thank you.
Thanks so much for like doing everything you do, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's our pleasure.
There you go.
You know, Drew. Anyone, it's funny, sometimes people ask us that question, and it's always flattering that people want to cover our songs, but anybody can cover anybody's songs.
Right, or you without paying any kind of royalty?
No, there's all you have to do, like, you know, we've covered people's songs a lot, and you just cover, as long as, if you're not releasing the song, it doesn't matter, but then if you release a song, all you do is find their publisher and, you know, make sure that the publisher takes care of it, and you just cover whoever. So if, like, you know, we've covered all sorts of bands that may or may not hate our band,
huh.
So you can just do it.
Interesting. You don't need anybody's permission to do it.
No, not to cover. You have to have permission to reprint lyrics.
Interesting.
But you can cover anybody.
Manuel.
Yes.
What's going on there,
Manuel?
I just wanted to say that I love your music, Davey.
Thanks, Manuel.
And me and my friends as well love it, too. So.
Thank you, Manuel's friends.
Okay. All right. So my question is, I'm 19 and I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I find whenever I'm in a relationship, I tend to get insecure with myself and in the relationship, and I start doubting them, and I get suspicious if they're cheating on me or if something's going to happen, and I just don't know what to do. It's happened, and it's ruined a lot of my relationships.
Have you been cheated on before? Have you been, like, abandoned before? Or?
No, I haven't been cheated on before.
How about abandoned?
Well, not abandoned. My parents, they split up when I was younger a while back. But it's constantly, if I'm talking to them, I'm like, are you sure you're not doing anything?
But Manuel,
I don't like the way I am.
Yeah, being controlling, being jealous, being angry, not an attractive thing, right?
Yes,
and
not at all.
A lot of 19-year-old guys have a ton of energy around this area. I mean, they do. They're just part of being that age. And part of it is built on the fact that you don't have a lot going when you're 19. You don't feel sort of that worthwhile. You're still in school. You don't have a lot of, you know, things to sort of establish your sense of worth in the world.
Other focuses.
Yeah. And so this is not an uncommon thing. However, it's not going to be okay to be this way. People aren't going to like it, and people are going to leave you because you're this way. Yeah. So it's an interesting double-edged sword, which is you get very – again, this is this thing of getting very involved with somebody, though when you once you're in, you become so fearful that they're going to leave that you either leave yourself or you force them to leave.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just I find that whenever I do that, I take it out on myself more, and I just don't know what to do because my father – is very aggressive and abusive, and he was very abusive towards my mom and myself.
So you had physical abuse growing up?
I was physically abused and mentally abused.
All right, so that needs to be treated, Manuel. You can't just pretend that's going to go away.
Yeah.
That leaves a huge imprint on your brain. And you have to very first and foremost learn how to trust again. And that's not something you do in romantic relationships because inevitably you'll set those things up for failure. And they're supposed to fail at 19, by the way.
Yeah, everyone's insecure at 19. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, people are insecure when you start dating a new person, really, for the most part.
This is a thing where you really want to get involved with a psychotherapist and sit down. And you've had bad trauma. That needs to be dealt with. It really does. So pick a caller, Dave. You got three there.
Let's see.
You've been married for 4 years, but seeing other people for two. Eek.
That's
gave up a child from rape for adoption. Wow. Why do guys like to nut on you? What's the right, Anderson?
Why do guys like to nut on you?
I was just voting for mine in your ear.
What were you saying?
I didn't
Anderson?
Hear it.
Five? I like the gave up the rape child.
Okay. Shannon.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. When I was 15, I went to a party with my friend, and I passed out, and, well, 9 months later, I had a son, and I got everything set up with the adoption agency beforehand, and I gave him to a couple that couldn't have kids. And lately, if I'm interested in someone...
You're the original Juno.
Huh?
The original Juno. But, Shannon, all kidding aside, you should be honored to have the courage to do what's right for the child, and so difficult for you, I know. It's something that, I mean, there should be like statues built in your, you know what I mean? You should really be, there should be some sort of acknowledgement for ongoing acknowledgement for.
There is. It's Juno.
Yeah. People well, I felt really good about it because it was right on Christmas when I had him.
Wow.
And, but I'm like, I don't know. I feel good about it, you know. But,
good.
You know, it's a good thing that happened. But I was just wondering if, if I should tell guys that I'm interested in, because does that like creep them out? Like,
At your age,
no, right? True.
Yeah, I would say not. At your age, you don't want to get into that.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? And when you're in your 20s and you're getting more serious in your relationships and stuff, you might want to tell guys after you've been around there for a little while. And they, by the way, a 25-year-old guy would be very sympathetic about this. An 18-year-old guy, who knows?
Right. I mean, you're not dating 25-year-olds, right?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. There's no reason.
What's that?
I'm just trying to get my life together and get through college and then worry about that kind of stuff. But
yeah, good for you. That's all good. Shannon, God bless you. Keep going, all right?
Thanks.
Don't worry about the 8-year-old screwballs.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. What do you want to talk to Marissa?
I was looking at three.
Okay, real
that's
quick.
Amazing.
Marissa, we just got a minute here. What's up?
The semantics here are wonderful.
What's up?
Hi, talking to me?
Yep.
Okay, I'm flabbergasted. I'm sorry. Okay, my question. Every guy that I meet that I, like, fall in love with and stuff, they always turn gay. And I think that I have a curse or something's wrong with me. Because they're not gay when I meet them.
They're gay when you meet them.
Yes, they are. Exactly. You just don't know it. They may not even know it either. But so you're attracted. Here's the way the question should be phrased.
Yes.
Why am I attracted to gay men that are in denial about their sexuality?
Yeah.
Yeah, but why do they always come to me? Something's wrong with me. Hey, wait. Okay, seriously, in all honesty, that's totally true, right? But I have this friend who's absolutely in love with AFI. And I really want him to at least get to say hello to you, Davey. He almost won your contest so he could go meet you and sing. And he got like 400 votes.
Let him say hi. We
hello. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. What's your name? What's your name,
hello.
Mystery?
Oh, my God. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Davey?
Yes, it is. And Drew.
Oh, I got...
Did Marissa turn you gay, too?
No.
No, she didn't.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, nice to meet you.
All that heavy breathing is a little much there, my
nice,
friend.
Nice
Manuel.
To meet you.
Is it Manuel? All right,
God, you didn't win, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just so excited.
Thank you.
I love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
He's crying.
You're so embarrassed.
It's all right. It's all right.
Have Marissa dry the tears.
Careful. Careful with Marissa. Don't know what'll happen. She has magic powers. She could turn you into a unicorn. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad.
A little music, Anderson.
I'm just very honored to be talking to you.
Well, Davey loves you
thank
too,
you.
My friend.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, buddy. We're signing off here now. We're gonna take a commercial break. All right? You gonna be okay?
Yeah.
All right. Say your last farewell.
You. Okay. Goodbye. Okay. Bye. Right. Goodbye. Nice talking to you.
Woo! You inspire people.
It's very nice.
Davey Havoc.
It's very nice.
Take a break. Be right back.
Bloodline is coming right back.
Bloodline.
It has been too long.
It has
between
been.
Between visits.
But it won't be between the next visits.
Well, I may actually see you on Saturday.
Yes, so. Exactly. Well, I'm coming back Monday. Did you know that?
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Seriously? I'm coming back Monday.
Fantastic.
And I believe Jade is going to be
awesome.
Coming with me. Yeah.
That's great.
So
that is big news.
We'll have a good trio here.
Oh, God damn it. If I had been able to come in on Saturday, we could have spent
most
still
of the week
together.
It could happen.
It could happen. I can talk my wife into dinner in Hollywood. We'll be doing it.
Right.
So, Anderson, you're going to break the show down a little bit?
You're going Saturday, Drew.
No, it turns out my kids' play is a matinee.
It's a matinee.
Right in the middle of that when they're doing it.
Well, you're going to have to miss one performance. <You'll be all right. laughs> So tonight, Davey pulls in the girls. We had 20 callers total, 13 girls and 7 guys, and with Tom Green last night, it was pretty much opposite. Just flipped that.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Almost all relationship calls, like 9 relationship calls.
And about 10 Davey, I love you calls.
I was going to say, I was going to say that's 6 Davey, I love you calls.
Thank you all.
And yeah, one Manuel.
that went down the I love you and I've said with you.
That was
it scared
nice.
Me a little bit
he
for Davey.
Adam Sandler has this great comedy CD, and he has this thing called the Excited Southerner. He sounded
yes.
a lot like the Excited Southerner.
I was waiting for Manuel to communicate and say.
He communicated
he
his
did,
love.
Without
tears.
Words.
I think there were tears and things there.
Without words.
Flowing.
It was nice.
All right, so
nice.
Davey, you'll be back on Monday.
You turn gay, Davey. You turn gay.
AFI is the band. We have we are desperately awaiting the release of the new CD. Which
Crash
will be
Love. Should be in the fall. Sometime after that, maybe
and
next
you're doing
year.
A summer festival this year, too, right?
In Europe. Okay. In Europe.
Damn you.
In Europe, not over here.
No Weenie Roast or anything like that?
I don't believe so. The record won't be out yet.
All right, fair
but
enough.
But after that, maybe next summer.
Check out Zoo Boutique. Check out AfireInside.net, the AFI mm-hmm. website.
ZooBoutique.com.
ZooBoutique.com.
Yeah.
And Davey, thank you. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, I'll see you Monday.
Okay, bye.
All right,
bye. I'm bored, and I go cheat, or I act out, or whatever.
Loveline. Opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or sponsors of this station. The producer of Loveline is Dan Engel, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One. Loveline.